Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Team, for leading us so well today. Man, incredible, incredible, incredible. Well, let me ask you to do this. Get your phone out, get your notebook out, get your pen ready, get your Bible ready, because today is going to be an awesome, awesome day. So about once or twice a year, I look over at Shira, my wife, and I say, hey, I think you need to preach this Sunday. I think it's time for you to get up and talk. People need to hear from you. And so I pick probably the worst day, right, because it's supposed to be Mother's Day where she gets a day off. But not only is she having to speak today, but we made her decorate the hallway today. So, sorry, babe. But I know that God's going to bless you. She's been praying over this message. We've been looking at it, and I'm excited. I've already read it, and I'm still excited. And so I just wanted to take just a minute and honor Shira and just say you're the best mom ever, and we love you. And I'm so excited how God's going to use you today. So would you guys welcome Shira to the stage?
Thanks, Allison. Good morning. Welcome. If you're visiting, I would like to say my husband is a much better speaker, so come back next week, okay? But welcome. I love any day that celebrates, and every lady, every bonus mom, grandma, grandmother, spiritual mother, everyone that falls into their categories, I do want to honor you. What a privilege it is, but also what a weight it is, right? And for those of you like me who maybe, did anybody raise their voice at any of their children this morning? No, just me? Okay. I like woke up early and I was like, I'm speaking today, so I am going to be a really good mom. Not only did my husband tell me that I wore this outfit last week, but also I did get upset at my kids as we were decorating. So I just want to lay it out there. This message comes from Jesus, not from me, for sure. But we're going to open our hearts as we dive into God's word today. And I do believe that God has given me a word. And when I'm standing there singing Fall Like Rain, that song really just encapsulates the whole message of may we never lose the wonder of God working in our lives. And so I know this is geared toward women, but men, don't drift off and think about like turkey legs or hunting or grilling or boy things, okay? Because this message will also speak to your heart. Students in the room, singles, I do believe that when God's word is open, it's powerful. So I'm going to talk about a girl named Hannah. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 1. And so while you're turning, I'm going to give you a little bit of context. 1 Samuel's in the Old Testament. But this story takes during a place where it's really dark in the history of Israel. They actually, when I read this, it sounds a lot like our world. It says in the Bible that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And when everybody does what's right in their own eyes, trouble happens. And so during this time, we meet Hannah, and it was a lady who desperately wanted a child. She, more than anything, just wanted to be a mom. And she was married to Elkanah. Elkanah really loved Hannah. He thought she was awesome. But he also had another wife. And I'll never understand this. Her name was Peninnah. And, you know, like, marriage is already kind of complicated. But having two wives, I mean, that's like double trouble. Like, what in the world? But he has another wife named Peninnah. And she actually had children. So Hannah, no kids, married to Elkanah. Sister wife, I guess. I don't know what else to call that. Peninnah, and she had kids. And so every year, their family would go to this place called Shiloh, and they would go to the tabernacle. And at the tabernacle, they would pray. And Hannah's pain was on full display. Everybody really knew what she was dealing with in her life. And year after year, she prayed and prayed. And year after year, she remained childless. And so what she carried was not the end of her story. It was the beginning of what God was about to do. And so what you carry, what I carry, And I'm kind of getting old, but I'm learning this with every year. What I carry is not the end of my story. A lot of times it's where God is starting in his work. And so we're going to take a quick little glimpse. I'm going to set the stage just for what's happening, because this story, if you're not familiar, is fascinating. But have you, in your life, think about yourself, have you ever carried something so heavy and nobody else saw it, but every move you make, you thought of it? You've carried something so heavy. It's like this invisible chain of weight. And through every smile, you feel it. Every time you showed up, you feel it. But you kept going. And so deep down when we have that weight, for some of us, it's just worry. We're so worried about everything. For some of us, that weight is something that we prayed about and God isn't seeming to answer. And so we're going to really talk a lot about weight, but everybody in this room is carrying something, whether you're 13 or whether you're 72. We all carry something. But this is the most important thing of anything I've said so far, is because what she carried wasn't the end of their story. It was the beginning of what God wanted to do. And God doesn't waste my burdens. God doesn't waste your burdens. And he transforms, which I kind of hate this, he transforms the burdens in my life into blessings. And so as you think about that, we're going to pray and give God this morning and just beg him to show us something new. Jesus, we love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power you have in your word. God, I pray for the person in the room today who it took everything to get here. God, I pray that you bless them, that they'll be able to concentrate on what you have to say today. I pray for the woman in the room who wants anything, just like Hannah, more than anything. She wants a baby or she wants a husband. God, just be near. Give a peace that passes all understanding. I pray for the man in the room that he has everything according to the world, but he feels empty on the inside. I pray that you speak directly into each of our hearts and in only a way that you can do, Jesus. Amen. All right. So we're going to read a couple verses in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read verses 6 to 8, okay? I don't really like this verse. You guys, some of the ladies in the room, you're going to want to roll your eyes with me. So just, her rival would taunt her severely just to provoke her. Doesn't that sound nice? Because the Lord had kept Hannah from conceiving. Year after year, when she went up to the Lord's house, her rival taunted her in this way. Hannah would weep and she wouldn't eat. Hannah, why are you crying? Her husband Elkanah would ask. Do you think he really knew? He had to have known. Why don't you eat? Why are you troubled? Am I not better than 10 sons? I mean, I love Elkanah, but like, really? And I have a great husband, but he unfortunately cannot. No, you're not, okay? But the number one thing we're going to look at today in Hannah's life is a heavy load. And Hannah's pain in those times had a name. Hannah's pain was barrenness. And so in her culture, she wasn't just sad. This was actually public shame. And Peninnah, because she's wonderful, provoked her severely and ridiculed her, the Bible said. And year after year, even the love of her husband couldn't fix it. And so when we think about the heavy load that Hannah carried, when you think about the heavy load that you're carrying in your life, maybe for you it's an unanswered prayer, and it feels like rejection. Hannah prayed for years without an answer. And as I've been studying, I was really convicted on some things that I'm going to be real truthful. There's something I've kind of stopped praying for. Because I've asked God for it for years and he hasn't seemed to answer it. But her unanswered prayer, she took it as rejection. The second thing is comparison steals joy. I was talking to my friend this morning and like, my pants are being held up right now by a binder clip. Like, I'm being real serious, okay? I broke the button. Doesn't matter. That's probably TMI, but that's just who I am. But I think that we say this, but do we really do this in practice? When you start comparing your kids or your husband or your life to other people, it steals all joy. The next one is even good people, even best friends, even soulmates or husbands or they cannot carry your deepest burden. I need to hear an amen if you have ever felt that in your life. Good. Me and Sharon. Thank you, Allison. I'm going to say that again. Have you ever felt that even the people closest to you that you trust with your life could not carry your burden? Okay. Well, we've got a few more. Can you tell? I teach elementary if you guys are new, so there's that. But for the moms today, I want you to really think about the heavy load. Your burden may look different, but your burden is just as real. Maybe it's exhaustion, the pressure to keep up. Maybe one of your children is wayward and they're doing stuff that you did not teach them to do. Maybe for you, you feel unseen. You wake up, you work so hard, and you feel like nobody sees you. Maybe you don't feel appreciated. Maybe you feel like you're not enough. Maybe if you, I more struggle with, I'm a little too much, okay? But whatever you feel today, comparison is going to steal your joy because you can never match somebody else's video clip, right? When you know yourself. And I love that Jesus says that even though your burden is invisible, doesn't mean it isn't heavy. A lot of us carry burdens. I could stand up here. I bet every person in this room could stand up here and share something that would be really hard that has happened recently. But just because your burden feels invisible or is invisible doesn't mean it's not heavy. Paul reminds us in a verse, it's Romans 8:28, and it says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And here's the really great thing about that verse and hard thing. It's hard to understand the hard things that God allows us to walk through, but he's going to work it for our good. And a lot of that is just because we're sinners, right? A lot of that is because we can't see everything God can see. And so sometimes God asks us to carry something heavy. And sometimes, instead of getting bitter about it, we need to smile and say, you know what, God, with your help, I can do anything. And so she, number one, Hannah had a heavy load. Number two, she had a hiding place. She didn't numb her pain. And I'm going to be really honest. My way of dealing with pain is pretending it's not happening. Do I have anybody else? Okay. If I don't say it out loud, then it's not real. Okay. And that's a lie that the devil has just whispered in my head. And I'm saying it out loud because I actively work on that. Because the load sometimes is so heavy, but we have a hiding place. She didn't numb the pain. She didn't go and gossip about Peninnah. And honestly, I would have been really tempted as her friend, be like, hey, everybody, look at Peninnah. Do you see what she's doing? She didn't go and gossip. She was deeply, deeply hurt, but she didn't quit showing up at the tabernacle. When I'm having a bad day, I get myself together halfway and I go to church because that's what I need. I do it because it's a discipline. It's important. I don't read my Bible because it's just so fun, because sometimes it's not, because God shows me my sin. But she got up, she took her broken heart and she took it straight to God. She prayed honestly. She was obviously, if you know this passage, what did the priest actually say she was? Front row is not allowed to answer. Somebody in the back row. What did they say? What did the priest say she was? They said she was drunk. That's how upset she was, right? They said that the priest was like looking down on her. She prayed honestly. She was deeply distressed, but she wept bitterly. She prayed specifically. She said, God, I want a son. And she prayed. This is a hard one. The first two, pretty easy, right? She prayed with full surrender. Lord, I want a son, but if you give it to me, I will give him back to you. Hannah didn't just want relief. She wanted God's will more than her own desired outcome. Oh, man. Have you guys ever prayed for something and you like thank the good Lord he did not say yes to it? I have prayed for some really dumb things in my life. And some of them God has given me. Some of them he has not, okay? But she prayed with full surrender. But there's a lot of times that when I pray, I say, Lord, okay, listen, I do trust you, but I have a great plan. I have a plan. And this is how it goes, Lord. And sometimes he's like, okay, Sherry, you think you know? Here you go. But a lot of times he shows me, that's not how I want you to pray. So in her hiding place, she prayed with surrender, because faithfulness in the burden means bringing your real emotions to God. And so, you know, this is Mother's Day, but I'm going to pick on the boys and the men a little bit. It's okay for you to have emotion. You do have emotion. I'm not saying, I just know a lot of boys and gentlemen and older men, it's okay for you to have emotion when you are upset about something. And you don't have to bring it to a person, but you sure should bring that to God, right? And so she wanted what God wanted, but her burden, she was real with God. She didn't just pretend she was okay. She knew she wasn't okay, and she cried and poured out her heart. And because she went to this hiding place, I have really good news. She had a holy moment. In verse 18, it says, "May your servant find favor with you." Then Hannah went on her way. She ate and no longer looked despondent. And I don't know if you've noticed something yet, but there's a shift. And a lot of us miss this shift. Nothing has happened in her life. And what did that verse just say? Hannah went on her way. She ate and no longer looked despondent. So some of you in this room, you kind of look despondent. I'm not going to lie. Okay? It's that like, she doesn't look like that anymore. Nothing in her life has changed. And this is the power of Jesus. Nothing in her life has changed. And she went with a smile on her face and her countenance was different. Eli blessed her, and the Bible says, then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. I'm just going to throw this out there, and this is going to hurt somebody's feelings, so if it does, you don't have to tell me. Just pray about it and forgive me, okay? Some of you look a little bit like Hannah looked when she was in misery, like often, okay? And I know that I'm a very perky person, fully aware. Just ask anybody who knows me. Maybe too perky, okay? But Jesus truly lives in my heart, should I look like this all the time? Because I'll tell you what. If I didn't know Jesus and I looked like this and I said, hey, want to go to church with me? I'm going to say absolutely not. Why would I want to go to church with you? That's terrible. And so I know that the burdens can be heavy. But it is also okay to crack a smile, right? Because I think, my mom used to say this, and it's probably not true, but she used to say, Shira Lee, just smile, because your heart will catch up with your face. Okay? It's probably not biblical. I don't know. She really does love Jesus, so it probably is. But some of you, your face needs to catch up with your heart. Just start smiling. And so if my peace depends on my kids behaving, if my peace depends on my not being sad, if my peace is according to my circumstances, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Because this life is really hard. This life is really complicated, right? And so we cannot let our circumstance command our attitude and our heart. And when we think about this, I have just a couple things we can learn under this from the holy moment. You guys aren't going to like it because I don't like it either. Real peace comes from surrender, not from getting what I want. Real peace comes from surrender. So type A friends, I'm like type like not A, okay? Except when I decorate and then I am type A. Okay, real peace comes from surrendering even though you think you know better. Even though you are really good at Excel spreadsheet. Okay, even though you have good plans. Real peace comes from surrender, not from getting what I want. That's a hard one to swallow if you've had to live in that. The next thing is faith believes. Oh gosh, this is hard. Faith believes God has heard us even before we see the answer. I just want you to either smile or give me a thumbs up if you're praying about something right now and you do not see the answer. So faith believes that God has heard me even before I see the answer. Peace doesn't come from my answered prayers. It comes from my surrendered heart. That's hard. That's hard. And if my peace depends on my kids making me look good. I have awesome kids. Okay. I maybe got a little upset with them this morning over the photo booth. I was not kind. I may have said a remark or two. But then a second later, one of them brought me a candy, one of them brought me a coffee, another one brought me something else. And I'm like, oh, I'm terrible. Okay? But my peace can't be, and that's great. But sometimes they're turds, right? Okay? Our peace cannot be on how well our kids behave. Because guess what? I'm not raising them to behave well. I'm raising them so that they love Jesus with their whole heart and they become a really good Jesus follower. Because behavior, I think, affects me. And I work at a school, so this is hard. I can't make raising my kids about me. Because when I do that, they become my idol. When I make raising my kids or my husband not making me look bad, right, then that becomes my idol. Just sometimes. But if our peace depends on my kids behaving, what if my peace depends on my health? What if my peace depends on my friends are treating me right? What if my peace depends on my bank account? Then your peace will always be fragile. Always. And I don't, you know what I don't want to be? I've been in church my whole life. I've loved Jesus before kindergarten. And I'll tell you what I don't want. I don't want to be one of those women who stands up there and like, I love you. And then behind the scenes, she's mean. I want to be a woman that's like an oak tree who can stand. And when hard things come, I cry, I get it out, but I got it because Jesus is with me. Your peace cannot be dependent on those around you. Your peace also can't be dependent on if God gives you a spouse, if God gives you a baby. Peace from Jesus has to come from him. And so what would it look like today if our faith, even though nothing, between now and when I'm done in 19 minutes, nothing is going to change in your life probably. But what if your faith changed? What if your peace, what about your heart? What about if that changed? And I'm not saying, women and men, that you don't have heavy burdens. There's no doubt. I know some of them. I hugged a friend this morning coming in. This is a hard day. And I'm not trying to say that burdens are not heavy. But some of you boys, you look like, listen, I'm not a hunter at all, if you can't tell, okay? I don't really like being outside with the bugs. I don't like being outside with guns and blood and dead things. And it's just terrible. I'll eat the meat, but I just pretend it came from Kroger, okay? But some of you, you do kind of act like that is more special than coming to church or being with Jesus. Or maybe for you, whatever it is, the highs and lows of life cannot change. Because God is still on the throne. Here's the cool thing. Whether you have a, face or not, God's still on the throne. Here's the thing that should bring you hope, because this brings me hope. Binder clip in my pants mean to my kids. It brings me hope. It's not about me. Jesus doesn't love me because I do a certain thing. He loves me because he made me. And he says, Shira, I still love you when you are ridiculous to your kids. Shira, I still love you when you say something you shouldn't and you have to apologize. Because it's not about us. And her circumstances still haven't changed. But we see Hannah change. The fourth is her harvest. If you didn't notice, they all start with H's because Hannah, harvest, holy. Anybody notice that? Okay, guess so. We'll talk later. I think you guys did notice it. So her harvest. We're about to see something really cool. You guys ready? Okay, look in God's word, verse 19 and 20. The next morning, Elkanah and Hannah got up early to worship before the Lord. Afterward, they returned to their home in Ramah. Then Elkanah was intimate with his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. After some time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel because she said, I requested him from the Lord. God remembered Hannah. God did choose to give her a son. And wow, a harvest came. Hannah's life is now complete. She's been begging God. Remember, she's happy even if God doesn't give it to her. God gave her what she wanted. a lot of us, we'll talk about that in a second. But the story doesn't end there, because a real thing, a miracle happens in Hannah's heart after what she begged God for, God gave it to her. And this is the fifth one, her humble surrender. This is probably, I would say, in the States, in North America, in 2026, this is probably the hardest one. Her humble surrender. In verse 27 and 28, I prayed for this boy. And since the Lord gave him to me and I asked him for it, I now, moms, brace yourself. Give the boy to the Lord. For as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. Then he worshiped the Lord there. And as soon as Samuel was weaned, Hannah kept her promise. That, there's no words for that. She brought this thing she begged God for. Her miracle son, she gave him back to the Lord. She was able to do this because as a mom, this is very hard for me to understand, but I'm going to help you understand it. She was able to give him back because she found something even better than being a mom. She found more. She found the Lord. And in the past, when I've been in a hard season and people would say that, I didn't really understand when I was younger until you walk through some hard things. Jesus gives us a peace that passes all understanding. A blessing becomes sacred when we place it back in God's hands. And I'm going to be really honest. For me, I can't just do it once. I have to do it over and over and over again. She kept her promise. It wasn't just an emotional want. It was real. And in chapter 2, we're going to take a peek and see, this is very exciting, her hallelujah. I was going to sing that song that I think Justin Bieber sang, you know, the, have you seen it all over Instagram? The, like, everything hallelujah. That's how I have felt about this whole sermon. I'm like, yeah, no, I can't. You guys will walk up and leave. I'm a horrible singer, okay? But her hallelujah. In 1 Samuel 2, it says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is lifted up to the Lord. My mouth boasts over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like our God. There is no one beside you, and there is no rock like our God. Do you guys hear that verse? Some of you need to write that down on a note card, a piece of paper, and put it on your fridge. Some of you need to take it to work where there's a lot of not Jesus things going on and put it there. There is no one holy like our God, whether you are living in a very easy season of life or whether you're in a very hard season. Hannah's song showed that her heart was anchored in God, not just in the gifts God gave him. She really was saying God isn't a genie in the bottle. My heart exults for the Lord because there is no one holy like our God. She worshiped with deep trust and spiritual maturity. That is really hard in the midst of life, to totally trust that the Lord knows best. And on this journey, I'm going to give you a couple action steps so you can go ahead and be on the journey just like Hannah was. Are y'all ready for it? Okay. Number one. And this is for everybody. This is not just for moms. Bring your burden honestly. I truly believe that then when we sit down and we're so honest with God, he can handle it. God can handle my grief. God can handle my anger. God can handle my questions. Because there's been many things in my life that I still don't really know why God allowed it, just like you. But God can handle it. Bring your burden to God honestly. You know what I love about God is he doesn't judge me. He loves me just where I'm at, and he loves you just where you're at. The second action step I want you to take is, this is harder. Trust God before you see the result. Let your heart change, even if your situation hasn't. That sounds really good in church. That's real hard on a Wednesday afternoon when you're faced it. God, I trust you. And for me, this is not just a daily thing. This is a lot of times during the day. God, I trust you before I even see what you're going to do. The third one is hold your blessings with open hands. God, I thank you that you gave me this. But I'm going to hold my blessing like this. Our oldest is going off to college, and I don't feel like we've prepared her well enough. You know, we've been preparing her for 18 years, but I have to really open my hand and say, God, you know better than me. I really just want her to go to a college locally and just live in our basement. We don't have a basement, but so that'd be hard. But God's been really teaching me with that instance is I'm going to hold my blessing with an open hand. I'm going to hold the dream job I want with open hands. I'm going to hold the situation that I keep saying, if God answers this, then with open hands. I'm going to listen to God when he tells me to give a lot of money something. Instead of going, no, I can't do that. I'm just going to do it. When God tells me to walk up to somebody, listen, I have had a few instances in my life where it has not been ideal, where you just hug a stranger. Has anybody else ever done that? No, just me. Okay, thank you, Sharon. There's been times, I think living your life in open hands is when you're at the checkout line at Walmart and you feel the Lord say, hey, pay for the person's in front of you groceries. And then you think, but I'm going to have to put some things back from my own. I think that's living a life of open hands. Not saying, if my life is like this, then it will be great. It's living a life of just every dream I have, giving it back to God. And so I want to be really honest with you as I have thought through and wrestled with this message. I think that a lot of us, we allow some things in our heart to stop us from having a happy face. I think for some of us, it's fear. What's going to happen? What's going to happen today? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? I think for some of us, it is, I have this problem. If somebody doesn't like me and somebody tells me they don't like me, I'm like, but why? I didn't even do anything, okay? And there's something in me, and I'm a pastor's wife, so I'm just going to be real honest. Not everybody likes us, okay? And sometimes I feel like I need to be like, hey, everybody, listen to me for a second. Can I just be honest with you? But you know what I'm doing when I do that to try to stick up for myself or my husband? I'm saying, God, I don't trust you with that. Let me take care of it. And you know what I have learned? When I get to heaven, I'm responsible for what I do. And that's really hard when people say things about us and we want to correct it. Or we want to tell them, no, that's not what happened. But God has been showing me I need to live with that open hand. Or maybe for you, it's shame. You have a deep struggle in your life that people do or don't know about. And it's really not that bad. But you have shame. You can't bring it to the Lord because you feel so guilty. Maybe for you, you're bitter. Your parents weren't what you wanted. Your life hasn't panned out what you wanted, and you're bitter. God, why wouldn't you do that for me? Why did this have to happen? Or maybe you're so anxious. You wake up anxious, you go to bed anxious. Maybe for you, like Hannah, you just haven't taken step one, and that step is just pouring it out before God. And I will tell you, I have an awesome husband. He is my best friend in the whole world. But I'm going to be really transparent. When I'm really upset about something, he's going to comfort me, but he's not going to make it go away or feel better, really. Right? When I'm really struggling with a decision or I'm really struggling with something in my life, we have people around us that are so good and godly, and that's awesome to go to them. But I would advise you, put your little ding, ding, ding if you don't go to Jesus first. Because no matter how good that friend is, they're not going to fulfill it. No matter how good that, you know, teenagers, no matter how good it feels to talk about somebody bad, you're going to leave feeling worse. Hannah poured out her pain. She poured out everything she felt. And then she trusted God. And so I want you to just think today, I know what mine is. I know where I've had to wake up and say, God, I pour this out to you because I don't know what to do. And if I don't pour it out constantly, guess what happens? I start grabbing at everything else. So I'm not doing sugar because I use that as a comfort. Oh, I'm frustrated. That sounds so silly when I say it out loud, doesn't it? But whatever it is for you, where you grab for comfort, God didn't just give Hannah a son. God gave Hannah a story of redemption. And you know what's awesome is, and I better see some excited faces, God wants to do that for you. God wants your story. And here's the other cool thing about it. Even if it's your fault, even if you were the turd bucket and you did it, God still wants to use you. Does that give anybody hope? I am such a sinner. I have to ask the Lord to forgive me so many times a day. It's really embarrassing. But God wants to take me. God wants to take you. He wants to take those things nobody knows about. And he wants to use it for his kingdom. And people tell me a lot, but Shira, you just say whatever. You know what I've learned? God made me this way, and I need to be careful that, you know, it's godly. But what if we all just were so confident in ourselves because of Jesus, we would change Bluffton. We would change South Carolina. I'm telling you, we would have to bring so many chairs in here, we would have to go borrow some. Because our world is dark, and our world is full of paninas. Sounds like panini, okay? And our world is hopeless. Because you and I, the burdens we carry, we can take them to the Lord. I have a friend who doesn't know Jesus, and I just am constantly just trying to love on them and show them Jesus. But guess what? I may be their only example of Jesus they know, so I better be right with God. Maybe for you, it's something that you need to just, Lord, I want to ask for your forgiveness because there's something in me that doesn't truly trust you. But here's what's cool is Jesus doesn't expect us to get from A to Z quickly. He just says, go to B. Okay, God, I'm going to try to lift my hands open, you know, like you're carrying it. And then he says, go to C, right? It's just tiny steps. Tiny steps are what changes our heart. And so maybe the tiny step for you, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I don't really understand any of this, have you truly asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin? Have you daily taken up the cross to follow Jesus? I want to have a church that is different. I want to have a church that you can come in here and weep and you leave just feeling a little lighter. But here's the thing, it's all about Jesus. I want to leave where God pokes us about our sin so we can say, do you know Jesus? I'm going to talk to somebody about that because I'm not going to be stuck in that shame or that sin cycle. I want my kids to love Jesus so much that everybody around them sees they're different. I want my life to reflect Jesus so much that they're like, what does she got? But we all can have it. It's free. I'm going to close in prayer and just go ahead and bow your heads. I want you to just take a minute with the Lord. And I want you to ask yourself, Lord, what am I clinging to? Maybe for you it's your job or your position. Maybe for you, it's your children or your lack of children. Or maybe for you, it's something that you think God doesn't care about. It could be very small. And I want you to just ask Jesus, just in the quiet of your seat, Jesus, I give this to you. Jesus, I trust you with this. Jesus, my heart is struggling, but I trust your heart. Jesus, I don't know what to do in this exact situation. And it's complicated and it's hard, and there's really not a right or wrong way. It's all hard. But Jesus, I trust your hand in my life. I trust that you are the God who sees me, that you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I trust what I cannot see. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the story of Hannah. I am so convicted in my life where I try to take control, God. I pray for each person in this room. God, I know that when your word is opened, you can change our hearts and our lives. And how incredible is that, God? Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross. We're so undeserving. I pray for the mom in here who feels defeated, who feels like she can't do anything right, God. I pray just a peace over her heart. I pray for a shift in her attitude. I pray for a shift in her mind where it's not about nobody cares about me, and it's more so how can I point my kids and my life to Jesus. I pray for the woman in the room who more than anything wants a baby like Hannah did. I pray that you wrap your arms around her today. God, we trust you even when we don't feel it. We trust your word even when it doesn't make sense. I pray a blessing on our church community. I pray that we truly live in a way that is willing to give everything we have to you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you so, so much. We can never thank you enough for your grace in our hearts and in our minds. In your holy and most precious name.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.